Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go.
Something will be said in this broadcast will be uplifting and stirring the hearts, the soul, the minds of your people right now. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we give you praise and we give you honor for allowing us to be here this morning. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Amen. We thank you for all the faithful people that's tuned into our broadcast this morning throughout wherever you may be, that may be at your place of employment and your place of work. We're grateful to allowing you to tune into the Steward God this morning. And this morning, we always give acknowledgement to my dear sweet wife, Carol Burton. Say good morning to the people.
Good morning, everyone. We're just so excited this morning to have everyone to join us. Our segment this morning is going to be considering doing a short sale. Is it good for me? We have a special host. We just love to have people who just know exactly what they're doing and they feel. We have a man who's Dan Harris, and he's our host today for this hour, and he's just going to be sharing with us just the concept of what is really, is it important to have a short sale? Is it good for you? Or what avenue you should take, and the pros, the do's, and the cons on it.
Absolutely. This morning, we just want to give a good morning, say good morning to Dan Harris, the owner and CEO for Mobile Settlement of Floral Park, New York. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Boy, we got a real good one this morning. We're grateful to allow you to come here with the Steward God and so many people out there, because, I mean, we've gotten all kind of feedback, because before we scheduled this thing and we asked you to come on, we put it out there, and a lot of people really don't have an idea of what a short sale is all about and the pros and the cons of that, and we're going to be dialoguing with you. So this morning, if you're out there also and you also want to be a part of our discussion, we ask that you would definitely also call in and talk with us and Dan Harris here, and the phone number that you can call in and chat with us, either if you're on the internet, is 347-324-5263. Again, that number is 347-324-5263. So we're grateful, and we're going to open up the floor to Dan to kind of give us some of the pros and cons about this whole idea of the short sale. Go right ahead, Dan.
Okay, well, the first thing I guess I should cover is on what a short sale is. A lot of people are probably sitting out there and don't really understand what the term short sale means. I'm sure everybody's heard the news about the subprime mortgage crisis or the meltdown that they're talking about every day in the news and the way it's affecting our economy and people being losing their homes and damaging their credit and not being able to pay their mortgages. Well, a short sale is a way out of that mess if you've chosen to move on from your property. What a short sale will do will mitigate your loss or lessen the damage to you and your credit when you leave the property. A short sale is nothing more than a bank allowing a discount on a mortgage so that the homeowner can sell the property and avoid a foreclosure. And there are a lot of benefits to doing that for you as a homeowner. One of the benefits is that you avoid the foreclosure or the stigma of a foreclosure appearing on your credit report. A foreclosure can drop your credit drastically, as I'm sure Doc Burton knows, from trying to help people purchase homes or refinance their homes. The other thing that a short sale will do is it will allow you to get out of the mess that you're in and move on with your life. So, you know, a lot of people have a hard time sleeping when they're involved in a foreclosure process, and this allows you to put it behind you and move on. And the other, you know, I think the most important part of doing a short sale is it gets you out of the property and it allows you to mitigate the damage to your credit or lessen the damage to your credit.
Well, I want to say something this morning, Dad. A lot of individuals that are out there, they are facing foreclosure. As an alternative, they're considering, listen, instead of me going into foreclosure, I'm going to file for the area of bankruptcy, because bankruptcy gives me relief. If I'm facing a foreclosure of my property, their attitude is that, well, I'll file for a bankruptcy Chapter 13, and the avenue of filing for Chapter 13 allows me the ability to be able to set up an payment arrangement to hopefully keep my home. So the other side of the coin is looking at, you know, suppose I really don't want to sell my house, or the fact I want to try to save my house, then actually doing a short sale.
Right.
So which way is better for me? You know, I'm looking at it from the other side of the consumer, because the consumer is saying, hey, if I don't have to get rid of my home and I can reestablish some sort of payment arrangement with the bank through the court, then why not go that way?
Correct. And that's probably going to be a viable alternative for some people. There are a number of different ways that you can deal with being in default to your bank or not being able to make payments to your bank. Some people listening today might just be in a situation where they've started to borrow from their 401k and deplete their savings. They're still not late on their mortgage, but they know that 3 or 4 or 5 months from now, they're going to run out of the money that they've got put away, the money that they have in reserve, and they're no longer going to be able to keep up with the mortgage payment that they have. Those folks are probably good candidates for what we call a loan modification. And depending on what bank you're with and what type of loan you have, you may be able to modify the terms of your loan with the bank so that you can reduce your rate and lower your payments. That's the kind of thing that a guy like Doc Burton can negotiate with your current lender if he's not able to, you know, if you're not able to refinance your property. So that's one avenue, is a loan modification, where you could actually change the terms of your loan and lower your payments. So that's going to be.
So in other words, a loan modification technically is just doing a refinance.
Right, but you're refinancing with your current lender without going through all of the expenses and the things that are associated with doing a refinance. So what you're really doing is you're enlisting the services of a professional who can get on the phone with your bank and renegotiate the terms of your loan. You may be in an adjustable rate mortgage that's reset to 9.5% or 10.5%, and a professional mortgage broker may be able to get on the phone with your current lender and talk to them and re-qualify you and restructure your loan down to a 6% or a 6.5% fixed rate loan.
Now, see, I was told that once you have a kind of a fixed rate with your mortgage, you have a mortgagee clause in there, and once you're obligated to that, there's no way that you can go in there and adjust that. Now, how is that being done?
Well, that used to be true, but the banks have, because of the situation that they're in and the amount of losses that they're taking and writing off, they've gotten a lot more willing to modify loans. This used to be something that they only did with borrowers who were in default by 2 or 3 or 4 months. They would get on the phone and redo all of their income information and try to re-qualify them for a lower rate, and then just send them what's called a loan modification agreement. And basically that modifies the terms of your loan. It could even take, you know, if you're behind by $10,000 or $12,000 in payments, they move that money to the back end of the loan and start you over as current with a new lower payment. So the banks are definitely doing that nowadays. So that's definitely a viable alternative for some people. The government is also looking into and trying to put together a way to fix the bankruptcy laws so that a judge will have the ability to modify your loan if you're in bankruptcy, as you were talking about bankruptcy a little while ago.
Okay. Now, maybe I'm kind of jumping ahead, but speaking, when you made a term move on with your life, let's just say that I did a quick sale and, you know, I my home was a certain amount, and I sold the home and everything, and I moved on. Now, how would this affect? What money will I get, and also what credit will be on my credit report?
Well, when you do a short sale, the lender that is taking the loss on your property, one of the stipulations in the agreement to allow you to sell the property for less than you owe on it is going to be that you're not allowed to walk away from the sale with any dollars in your pocket. Now, sometimes they will allow us to include some moving expenses. You know, if you need $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 to move into an apartment or something like that, I've had lenders actually give us the ability to pass that money along at closing to somebody who's moving out of a house. But the thought of getting $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 when you leave the property is not something that the bank is going to allow you to do if they're taking, you know, the loss on the property.
So you're saying like the minimum is going to be about $3,000 or $4,000.
Right. Now, they're only going to give you, you know, moving expenses or the ability to relocate, that type of thing.
Now how will my credit report look with that?
Well, it's not going to look as bad as when you avoid when you get a foreclosure on your credit report.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going to happen on your credit report is you're going to have a little comment on that mortgage that says account paid in full, settled for less than the full balance. So that is going to hit your credit report, but it's not as bad as having a repossession or a foreclosure on your credit.
Absolutely. Okay.
Here the thing is that a lot of people, they may not be inclined to allow that type of indication on their credit report and avoid the short sale. That's because they're saying, well, listen, maybe I've been in the house maybe 10 or 15 years and I took a bump in the road, and now after going through all of this, you know, look how much equity. Maybe I may have $100,000 or $150,000 in the house. And because of this declining market, and I got so far behind, and there's so many houses that are available on the market that you can get, a lot of them are saying, well, listen, I would just ride it out and just lose the house, you know, because I'm not going to walk away with anything anyway. So, you know, that's the attitude and that's perspective that I've seen a lot of individuals really get involved with that are out there. So, I mean, so the short sale on that side, you know,
Well, about short sales and what you're talking about is being short-sighted, because that person who's going to move on with their life, at some point down the road, they're going to want to be able to get back into another property. If they have a foreclosure on that record, on that credit record, it may be 8, 10, 12 years before they can get into another property. If they've got a simple ding on their credit that says account paid in full, settle for less than the full balance, they're probably going to be in a situation, as long as they clean up their credit and move forward, within the next 2 or 3 years, you should be able to put them into another house. So there's a big difference between allowing the bank to come in and kick you out of the house after they foreclose on it and voluntarily surrendering the property and cooperating with the lender to help them sell the property.
Now, the other thing I'm looking back, let's say that you had said, stated on the short sale, and that a lot of individuals, when they do a short sale, that the equity that the bank is writing off as a bad debt, now there's a remaining balance. Let's say the house was $500,000 and it's being sold as a short sale of $350,000. The bank is taking a loss of $150,000. Now, can the bank, or does the bank have the legal right to have the recourse to come to try to collect the other $150,000 because they took a loss on it? It's just like if a person went out there and, the account was charged off as a bad debt. Can they come against me, you know, for $150,000?
Right, absolutely. The bank has the right to do that, and that is part of the negotiation process. When our company here negotiates a short sale, there are a couple of things that we will not accept in the terms when we're doing a short sale. One of them is turning the remaining balance into an unsecured debt, which a lot of lenders try to do. So if they're forgiving you $150,000, they want to take an unsecured loan with you. In other words, they have you sign a new note that says that you now have a $150,000 unsecured note with them. And then typically what they would do with that note is go and file a judgment against you after the property is sold, so
okay.
that you have that following you forever. We, when we negotiate a short sale, we will not accept that as one of the terms of the short sale. When we negotiate a short sale, we negotiate the price of the property as being payment in full to the bank, and there is no other monies owed to the bank. There are still some other repercussions, though. What used to happen is the lender would forgive you $150,000 or whatever the difference was between your mortgage and your sale price, and then they would send you a 1099 at the end of the year telling you that they had given you $100,000 or $150,000, and you had to pay tax on that. At the end of 2007, because of the mortgage crisis and the amount of foreclosures coming onto the market, the government passed the Home Debt Relief Act. And what that did was it allowed people to do a short sale without incurring the tax ramifications associated with doing a short sale. So if the lender forgives $150,000 in debt, what people were doing before was they were jumping from the frying pan into the fire. They would do a short sale to get out from under this mortgage debt that they had, only to find out that now they owed Uncle Sam, you know, 30% of $150,000.
That
so
makes
the government passed a law that said that they're no longer allowed to send you a 1099 for that money, so you don't suffer a tax consequence. Obviously,
okay,
it's important
to ask you something,
doing,
Dan.
Yep.
I'm sorry. What I want to ask you, because here at the Stewart's Guide, we kind of educate all listeners, that's why we promote them to kind of tune into us, on every aspect on home, anything as far as, you know, everything from start to finish within a home once they're trying to purchase a home or prepare themselves for a home. Now, for those that are listening and they don't know or they can't really they don't know the terminology that you guys are using, which is short sale and quick sale. Could you just explain what is a short sale or a quick sale? Is it the same thing? Is it different? Or
a short sale and a quick sale are typically the same thing, yes. It's
okay.
Basically, it's nothing more than the bank allowing you to sell your property for less than you owe them. That's a
okay.
short sale.
Now, usually people will go into this avenue before they reach to that foreclosure state.
Correct. Well, you have to. There's a foreclosure timeline. Normally what happens is somewhere between the fourth and sixth month, the bank is going to do what they call filing a list pendens. That's
mm-hmm.
a notice, a legal notice to everybody out there that this property is moving into the foreclosure process and that the lender is taking action. So that's, you know, that's within 3 to 4 months. Typically within another 60 to 90 days, the bank is going to start foreclosure proceedings. At that point, somewhere in about the 6th to 8th month, the bank is going to move towards having those foreclosure proceedings begin and taking the house away from you. And typically today, somewhere between the 10th and 12th month, they're going to be able to advertise what they call a trustee sale on the courthouse steps where they're going to sell the property. So typically it takes somewhere between 10 and 12 months for the bank to actually boot you out of the house and put you in the street. The government is stepping in now and trying to, in different states, put a moratorium on foreclosures to slow down the process. So those timelines may change, but that's historically what the timelines have been on a foreclosure.
So basically, for those who are in fear of foreclosures, they still have time because, like you just expressed, it takes about 10 to 12 months before they're technically put out on the street. And in the interim of that, within the 3 to 4 months late on their payment, they can do a loan modification or a refi, you know, pretty much the same thing, before they even do a quick or short sale, correct?
Exactly. And what I've found is there are a lot of people out there, because of the old stigma of having a foreclosure or a late mortgage payment, there are a lot of people out there who will be 30 days behind. Maybe they had a bad month and they're 30 days behind, and now they're making their payments and struggling, but they're only 30 days behind, and they've continued to be 30 days behind for the last 5-6 months, and that's all they're behind. Those people are under the wrong impression that they can't refinance. And the truth of the matter is that if they were to come to a mortgage broker, they would find out, they might find out that they could refinance. So, you know, I have clients who are mortgage brokers that actually do advertisements and have people come to them that had no idea that they'd be able to refinance because they called their bank and their bank told them no. And they automatically decide, you know, thought that they would not be able to refinance. And a good mortgage broker may be able to find a program and put them into it and refinance them out of the problem that they're in.
Absolutely, Dan. And I just wanted to elaborate on that point. The fact is that there's a lot of individuals that are out there who have the idea, especially when they deal with their bank in which they do businesses. And a lot of them have good standing. They've been in there 10 and 15 and 25 years. And they may have even taken the mortgage out with that local bank that they have. And it's because they are 30 days behind, and let's say their credit is not real bad. However, based upon their credit criteria, because they're late 30 days on their mortgage, their bank, like you said no.
Right
now, there's a lot of banks and there's a lot of programs that I offer to so many individuals out there, especially government subsidy loans. The FHA loans that are available and programs that I have available to offer individuals to be able to refinance their house and get out of that indebtedness. And 9 out of 10 is between 1.5% to 2% less than their current interest rate they have now on their mortgage. It will give them the financial freedom that they need and help them, like you first stated, facilitate and get themselves back on the track.
Right.
I think that some of the two worst entities who are very bad about doing exactly what you first stated is credit unions and some commercial banks. Because
right.
If you have a commercial bank and, you know, if your credit is not perfect, they just not even considering you
right.
to try to
I've come up for a lot of years, and I've worked together with Doc for quite a long time. I've always known Doc to be a champion, and if I could steal a commercial line, when your bank says no, champions say yes, and Doc's a champion, so I'm sure he can help you refinance if you're in a 30 to 60 day late situation.
Well, we thank you for that, Dan, and we also want to express to our listeners, if you want to tune into the Stewart's Guide, you can call at 347-324-5263. Also, we have Dan Harris here from
Mobile Settlement,
and he's just given us some great ideas. If you do want to get in contact with him, call us at the Stewart's Guide and get in contact with us, or even we're live now on the chat line. We can give you all information so you can get in contact with Dan Harris.
If you'd like, I'll give you my website. It's www.mobilesettlement, that's M-O-B-I-L, SETTLEMENT.com, mobilesettlement.com. And that's got all of our contact information also. If you're looking to have somebody negotiate with your lender on your behalf.
Because a lot of times, Dan, what I've seen is that I've seen individuals who, now on a short sale, an individual is definitely about at least 4 months down on their mortgage when they're considering getting out. And
I've actually done short sales for people who are current and beginning to deplete their income. They've listed their property and they're relocating, they're leaving town, and they're stuck because the properties in their neighborhood have dropped in value to below what they maybe they did a 95 or a 97% or 100% mortgage, and now, you know, they bought the house for $450,000. With the closing cost, maybe they spent a total of $470,000, and they owe the bank $470,000, but the houses around them are only selling for $410,000. They can't sell their home, even though they're current. So we've actually negotiated short sales with lenders in those situations where that person who's got a 700 credit score winds up with a ding on their credit that just says account paid in full, settle for less than the full balance. And maybe their 700 credit score only goes down to 660, and they've walked away from their home. They've worked with their lender to sell a property that is no longer worth what it was worth, and they move on with their lives and they move to their new area and somebody gets them a mortgage to buy a new home there.
Well, now, Dan, the assumption now that you said in the term is quick sale,
right,
or short sale, it's with the assumption that you have a prospective buyer to buy it. Right now, speaking to a lot of realtors and those type of individuals, there's a lot of individuals who are saying it's very difficult, and depending on where you are geographically, because this broadcast is nationwide,
right,
that are having difficulty in selling their home because there's such a large inventory of homes that are on the market now.
Right. So, well, there's a paucity of individuals out there who have the experience at dealing with short sales, but a savvy individual could go out there and find clients who are first-time home buyers and put them into, you know, some of these first-time buyers programs that are 97 or 95% financing, and buy a property that's being sold on a short sale for 20 or 30% less than the other properties in the neighborhood are selling for. You know, there are people out there that still have their homes listed at the old value, you know, what they thought their house was worth a year or a year and a half ago. And they're going to be sitting in the market next to a short sale. You know, just for example, you've got a home that's worth $350,000 a year ago, and maybe today that property is only going to sell for $260,000. But you've got an unrealistic seller who's listed his property with a realtor who wanted the listing, and now that property is sitting out there on the market for 6 months or a year because it's priced too high. Along comes a short sale, and that property is now being sold for the realistic price, you know, the lower $320,000 price. That property is going to sell. And if a realtor or a mortgage broker is talking to first-time home buyers, these properties are perfect for them. You know, it's a perfect first-time buy for somebody, and they're buying it and walking into a property and probably going to wind up with, you know, 15 or 20% equity in the property from the day they move in.
Okay. Now, for the homeowner side of things, if they had bought their house and not too long, let's say within the last 5 years, and a person, like I said, hit hard times, whatever the case may be, and they the house is sold next door to them, and let's say the house was worth $500,000, and they sold it, like I said, $350,000. Now, how does that affect me personally if that's my house that's next door?
Well,
how does that
drop the value of your home? It's definitely going to drop the value of your home, and that's what's going to happen. That's what's happening right now. Home values are dropping, you know, nationwide. And the reason home values are dropping nationwide is because of the subprime mortgage crisis, which is now no longer just subprime mortgages. It's hitting, you know, all aspects of the mortgage industry. And the homes are going to definitely come down in value. You know, when you have short sales and foreclosures going on in the neighborhood, and it's every neighborhood, it can be the worst neighborhood in the world or the best neighborhood in the world. There are people who are going through foreclosure and losing their homes that are $3 and $5 million houses, just like there are people that are losing $50,000 and $60,000 houses.
Well, absolutely. That's the thing. But you see, when we see a lot of different individuals that come on to the line to chat with us, they get the idea because of the mass media and what they advertise, the major media that are out there on radio and television. They're given the idea that there's such a great fluctuation of foreclosures, which is true, but that's not everywhere in the world. There's places in the world that it is thriving. I mean, they are like buying homes like there is no tomorrow, and there's a shortage, actually, of homes in that geographical area. Would you agree with that, Dan?
Yeah, there are some areas that are still booming. I know that Atlanta is still doing very well. There are parts down there by you in the Carolinas that are, I think Raleigh is doing very well. I think that Charlotte is still doing very well. So there are some pockets where the influx of people and industry have fueled the housing market, and it's still growing. Your area there where you are is still doing very well in the housing market. Is that correct?
Absolutely. They're building coliseums and all things like that. I mean, you know, they're doing major renovations. So it's like that term is definitely not applicable over here. I mean, there are some off areas here that's a little depressive and more out in the rural area, but not really in inner city Raleigh, North Carolina. Absolutely not. I mean, they are building like wherever, and people are buying homes. And I've helped with so many individuals down here in Raleigh, New York, and Bronx, and Maryland, and different places, Virginia and Florida, that people are buying homes like an all-time high. So, I mean, I think in one thing in the subprime market that this gave the opportunity again and the strength back to the American people to be able to buy houses more affordable. I just think because of such an influctuation and overvalue of a lot of these homes that this is a time for people to really benefit for it. If you look on all the mass medias that are out there on television, especially on network TV and cable television and so forth like that, you see so many seminars and people that are teaching and making billions of dollars of teaching people how to buy these foreclosed homes. And so if that was not a money racket, I don't know what a money racket is.
I would tend to agree with you. What I'd like to do is talk a little bit, if you've made up your mind that short sales or short selling your property is something that you want to do, the next thing that you need to do is understand the process or what's going to happen and how you need to go about putting together what you do for the bank in order to get a short sale agreement with them. So the next thing that we should talk about is the documentation that you're going to need to put together to bring to whoever it is that's going to negotiate your short sale. One of the things that we do here is we put together a nice package for the bank so that it's easy for the bank to make a decision on short selling the property, and we can do it in a relatively short amount of time. Normally, it takes us somewhere between 3 to 6 weeks to get an approval from a lender to short sell a property. So if you've ever tried it or you've ever done, you know, ever been in the process and you've dealt with somebody who's taken much longer than that, it's because they're practicing and they don't know what they're doing. So if you've got a pen and paper, you might want to write down the items that are going to be necessary in order to be able to do a short sale. You should begin to put together your most recent mortgage statements. I know a lot of people that are so far behind start to ignore the mail that they get from their bank.
If I was in debt like that, I don't think I'd be worried about no mortgage statement. I know I owe them.
Right. My advice is if you don't want to open the envelopes, don't open them, but put them in folders, label your folders, and take your mortgage statements and put them in a folder with your bank's name on them so that later on, because you're going to need those in order to negotiate a short sale, you're going to need your most recent bank statements. This is not going to, Doc, this is going to sound like stuff you've done because it's just like getting a mortgage. You're going to need your most recent bank statements for 2 or 3 months. You're going to need your most recent month's worth of pay stubs. You're going to need your last 2 years' tax returns. You're going to need a personal financial statement that basically lays out all the money that's coming into the home and all of the money that's going out of the home, whether it's phone bills or gas and electric bills or fuel bills, how much money you spend on gasoline, how much money you spend for insurance. All of those items are going to be given to the bank to explain to them what your financial picture is so that they can see what your financial burdens are and whether or not you're a candidate for a short sale or if there's some way for them to figure out to keep you in the property and readjust your payments. The other thing that you need to go along with that is going to be a hardship letter. That's going to be a letter that explains to the banks why you fell behind on your payments in the first place and why you don't believe that you're going to be able to continue to make payments to them and you need to sell your property in a short sale. So those are the kind of things that you need to be putting together if you're thinking about doing, you know, selling your house in a short sale. You're going to need a listing agreement with a good realtor. And before you put your property up for sale with a realtor, you're going to want to make sure it's somebody who understands the short sale process. So maybe the thing to do is to talk to your short sale negotiator and find out who they would recommend in your area that knows short sales, because there are realtors out there that don't have a clue of what to do with a short sale, and there are realtors out there that are very experienced with short sales. You want to be dealing with somebody who knows how to list a short sale and knows how to sell a short sale so that you can work together and find a buyer as quickly as possible. You're going to need a... Go ahead.
Excuse me, but what type of costs is it going to actually incur? As you realize, the reason why I'm in a foreclosure and looking at it from that standpoint of view, the reason that I'm in a foreclosure or considering a short sale is that I'm having financial hardships. So
right.
My question becomes to me this morning, how much is it going to cost me? Because as you realize, my money is limited, and that is the reason why
We collect a very small fee up front to cover our expenses for labor to take care of it. We get a $395 fee, and that fee is so that we can start to work on the file. It doesn't begin to cover the actual cost of negotiating with the bank and putting all of the paperwork together and doing that, but that's what we get as a fee. You may find, there are guys out there that are charging thousands of dollars to do that short sale negotiation, and they're charging an upfront, $1,500, $2,000, $2,500 fee, and I would steer clear of those. You want to do business with somebody who's going to help you, and we're not taking so much money from people that they can't afford it. We get a $395 fee to start the process, and then we get paid. We have an agreement with the bank in the negotiation to get our actual, fee for doing and putting together the short sale. But that's paid by the lender. It's not paid by the homeowner.
Now, Dan, I'm hearing these horror stories where you have people buying. They buy the land first, and then they buy the home second and build the home on it. And what happens when they start falling behind on it, and you're looking at two payments that they're paying, the separate payments, and one for the house and one for the land they're paying a payment, now they're falling behind with the home, and all of a sudden they come and take the home away from them because they can't pay on the land. Now, how would a quick sale help them?
Well, at that point, we're going to be negotiating with two lenders, not unlike somebody who went out and got 100% financing, and to avoid the MI or the mortgage insurance, private mortgage insurance, they divided the loan up into two loans, which in the industry is called an 80-20 or an 80-15, 80% and 15% loans. And we negotiate with both lenders on those deals. So it would be the same thing in that situation. We would be negotiating with both lenders. Sometimes there are more lien holders on the property. If you owe the IRS $150,000 in tax liens, you're not going to be able to get out of your house in a short sale because the lenders are not going to allow $150,000 to come out of the transaction to pay off that tax lien. And from a title perspective, that tax lien is going to stay attached to the property. There's only one way to remove that tax lien without paying it, and that's for a judge and a trustee in a foreclosure to eliminate it and attach it from the property.
Okay, but you're not saying that they cannot have a lien on it. It's just the amount, the total amount of lien, the lien that they have on the home that they can't get that done.
Right.
Is that correct?
If there are some liens on the property that are small, we've been successful in negotiating with lenders to actually allow monies to come out of proceeds to pay off those liens. I've also had some success on occasion with lenders who will allow me to pay off some debts of the people who are moving out of the property.
Now, what about student loans?
They
have outstanding student loans. Do you help them pay for that, or child support? Do you incorporate that in there too?
The child support is a lien. Sometimes the lender will allow for it to be paid out of the and typically it does become a lien. So sometimes the lender will allow that. These things are all done on a case-by-case basis, and there are no hard and fast rules. Remember, the lender has absolutely no obligation to forgive any of the debt that you signed for when you signed your mortgage. So they are making accommodations in order to lessen their loss in the property, because in order for them to foreclose on the property, they've got to expend legal fees. They're taking a chance of winding up owning the property themselves if they can't sell it at the foreclosure sale, and it could cost them $50,000, $60,000, or $100,000 to take that property back and then hold on to it. So the last thing on earth the bank wants to do is become a real estate owner. They would like to sell the property if they can sell it for a reasonable amount and keep their losses at a minimum. So those things that we're talking about as far as other liens or debts that are in, you know, that are encumbrances on the property, the lenders are going to take a good hard look at that, and depending on what is going to be left at the end of the day, their net proceeds, that's what they're going to make their decision based on. So if they feel like their net proceeds are going to bring them out ahead of the game as compared to foreclosing on the property, then they're going to make the deal. If they don't feel that their net proceeds are going to bring them out on top of, you know, doing a foreclosure, then they're going to do a foreclosure. So they're making strictly a business decision, black and white, numbers-oriented decisions.
Well, that's, like I said, that sounds very good, because I see, like I said, I can see the advantages, the benefits of the helping the individual to get out of their property. Now, would the bank allow, on a short sale, a family member to be able to purchase that property?
The answer to that question is usually no, because they're going to be looking at that with an eye towards, is this really nothing more than a bailout? In other words, is this guy's cousin buying the property from him just so that he can move back into it or stay in it? So they're going to be looking at that. You know, the last thing that they want, they don't want to forgive debt and allow the seller to live in the property, to continue to live in the property. So there are no leasebacks allowed, no rental agreements, you know, after closing rental agreements allowed. And your lender who's lending the mortgage to buy the property is also going to be of the same mind. So, you know, all lenders think alike. And so they're not going to want to lend the money to, you know, somebody's cousin so that the seller can continue to live in the property. So you have the same thing on both sides.
Well, and that's why I'm going to ask, because I know that there's a lot of people that are listening out there that in this discussion this morning, and we have
a slick way of bailing themselves out of the problem that they're in, and there are some charlatans out there who will definitely do it, but make no mistake about it, if you get involved in something like that, you may have a lot more trouble than being behind on your mortgage.
I understand, and that's why I'm addressing it, because there's a lot of people who would say, okay, well, now hearing this thing that gives me an alternative, and John Doe or Uncle Fred out there has very good credit and so forth that out there, and he knows I'm going and having a hard time, so if I can get the quick sale and do that, then Uncle Fred and Aunt Sue can buy the house, and then in a year or two, then I sell it back to them.
Right. Well, the answer to that would be to have Uncle Fred go buy another house across town if you want to keep your kids in the same school, and have him rent you that house until your credit is cleaned up, because the lenders are not going to go along with that. You know, in the house that you're currently in that you're behind on, and asking them to take a hit on the chin on.
Absolutely. Well, I'm just so grateful this afternoon. If you're out there and you're part of, we have about 16 minutes more on the broadcast to talk to you this afternoon, and you have a few questions for our guests, you can call in or chat with us online. If you would like to call in, the number you can call in is 347-324-5263. Again, the number is 347-324-5263. We are just so grateful to have Dan Harris from Mobile Settlements being with us this morning and sharing with us these valuable tools, because there's a lot of individuals that are out there that have a lot of erroneous and improper information that they have associated with getting a home and buying a home, or if I'm in the process, if I have to, I just cannot afford this house, they're going through divorce proceedings or whatever the case may be, that they consider the quick sale. Now, that brings up another good point to me. If you have a husband and wife,
and one of the spouses is going to get legal right to the house. With the two of them together, they can afford the house. However, because of the potential divorce, one of them is going to try to buy them out. The person that's buying them out, they cannot afford this house on their own. Would a quick sale work for them, or can it be done because of they both have title of ownership in the property?
If they both have ownership in the property, the bank that's got the loan on the property, that's probably more of a loan modification candidate than a short sale candidate. I've never negotiated one of those with a bank, so you know, to say that definitely yes or definitely no, I can't answer that question. I would try it. I mean, if I had a divorce situation and somebody came to me, I would definitely contact a lender and talk to them about it and say, this is the situation. The wife is going to wind up with the home. The home is no longer worth what it was worth. Keep that in mind. It's got nothing to do with the situation that the people are in. The bank is looking strictly at what this property is worth today. You know, we lent $450,000 on it, and it's only worth $325,000 today. I could see a situation where in a divorce, the wife is getting the house or the husband is getting the house and buying out the spouse. I could see a situation where the bank would allow the spouse to buy the property for $325,000. You know, I've never, like I said, I've never negotiated that with a bank, but I can't see a reason why in that situation a lender would say no automatically. I think that that's something that probably could be negotiated.
Yeah, because that's what I see that's happening a lot, and I know a lot of individuals I've talked to in that regard. I mean, I had one particular client that I've talked to who has been married to this woman 30 years. And for whatever reason, it broke down. Okay, so his suggestion was that he was going to buy her out. When she went to arbitration, then she got the house, and he got 20%.
Uh-huh.
So now she does not have the ability to be able to pay for the house. That happens a lot.
Right.
So what do you do? Yeah, you got the house, but did you win? You
right.
Know.
Well, it depends on the value of the property on whether or not you're going to be able to negotiate the loan down with the lender. That's really the answer. The answer is what's the value of that property and whether or not the lender's going to be willing to allow you, you know, willing to take a loss on it. You know, if you're in one of those areas we talked about earlier where property values haven't suffered greatly and the housing market is still doing well, the chances of getting a short sale in those areas is much smaller because the bank knows that the property's going to sell. You know, they could go to a foreclosure and sell the house for 10% less than what they've got on it, or they might even recoup their entire investment.
So if the bank feels that it is not a declining market or the fact that they can liquidate the asset, then they may reject the quick sale offer.
Correct. And part of the short sale process is working with the bank to determine what the value is. The bank is going to do a third party, you know, a disinterested third party valuation on the property. Typically, that's from a realtor. A realtor will go out and do for the bank what's called a BPO or a broker's price opinion. What that realtor is telling the bank is what this property could sell for today if it were on the market for 30 to 60 days. So they're giving them a realistic idea of what they could sell the property for quickly rather than listing the property and having it sit on the market for 10 months because the bank doesn't want to carry a property for 10 months. They've got a lot of liability. People can trip on the property, fall on the property. You know, the people can throw rocks through windows. You know, all kinds of things can happen. So they've got a lot of liability besides the cost of carrying the property by keeping a foreclosure, by owning real estate. So, and that's not the business they're in. They're in the business of making interest on lending money, and that's what they want to do.
So now, in my opinion, now
it's like a really a better choice than the bankruptcy, because the bankruptcy will also give the same type of indication or consumer credit counseling for that, that if you settle an account, you will get the same type of indication in your credit profile that says that you settled an account for less than full. So this sounds like this is a good avenue to consider.
You have a lot of other debt. I mean, if you've got $150,000 in credit card debt and, you know, loans and things like that that are also on your credit to go along with being behind on your mortgage, then, you know, your attorney is probably going to advise you to move towards doing a bankruptcy. But if your home is the only thing that you've got that's a debt, then bankruptcy may not be the ideal choice. You know, obviously you're going to sit down with legal counsel, which we're not, and make a decision based on your situation. But, you know, if your home is the only item you've got that's a debt and you're having a hard time making those payments and you've got, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 worth of other debt, then filing a bankruptcy is probably not going to be your avenue. And a short sale, maybe you'll start with a loan modification. I know we've had clients who've come to us. We've tried to negotiate a loan modification, and the bank looks at it and says, listen, these folks just don't make enough money to carry this home. Our advice is for them to sell the house. And that's when we sit down with the client and talk to them and make a decision on whether or not they want to move into going towards doing a short sale on the property.
Absolutely. So the short sale, like from what I'm seeing, is a definitely a good alternative, because I've seen a lot of individuals who actually have lost their homes. I mean, let's just say that a person has they have a pending sale date of foreclosure from the bank.
Right.
And they only have like 2 weeks or so.
If you've got a buyer, a bona fide buyer who can show funds to the bank, it's possible to stop that foreclosure or postpone it. Typically, lenders are not going to – that doesn't mean we can't negotiate, but that two-week timeline, the bank is not going to stop the process. Once they've got it on a foreclosure calendar for sale, they're not going to stop that process unless they are absolutely sure that somebody's ready to step in and fork over the money to buy the property. So they're going to want to know absolutely positively that you have the funds to close your transaction, or they're not going to accept a short sale on such a short timeline. Because if they interrupt the process, it's going to take them months to get back into being able to foreclose and take you out of the property. You know, they have to go right back to the court and start over again. Not start completely over again, but they have to get back into the queue on a court calendar, and it's going to take them a while to do that. So they're very, very, very reluctant to get out of line. You know, it's like you're standing on line, and you've been standing on line for hours, and you don't want to get off the line because you lose your place in line. Well, the bank is in the same position in the foreclosure court.
Well, we are just so grateful this morning for all the information that you're sharing with us. We just want all of you to know that we have about 6 minutes to be on the air, and we would definitely encourage you that wherever you are throughout the nation, we ask you that you give us a call also, and we'll talk to you off the air if you feel a little embarrassed or ashamed about your situation. You can call us at 919-758-8800. Again, the number is 919-758-8800. We are just sharing, and we're so fortunate to have with us Dan Haddon, the owner and CEO of Mobile Settle in Floral Park, New York, and he's been sharing some very, very key areas with us. And this afternoon, if you're considering or you're having a little difficulties and potentially a short sale in your life, then you need to give us a call, and we'd love to talk to you and help you through that process and connect you with Dan Harris that will be able to help you out. Again, give us a call at 919-758-8800. Again, our number is 919-758-8800. I'd also like to share with you and say to you this afternoon, if you
God bless you. If you have some different ideas in your life that you need to discuss with us off the air, we'd also like to help you. If you'd like to send us an email, the email that you can give to us is cburton.inspired1@gmail.com. Again, that's cburton.inspired1@gmail.com. We're just so grateful to have Dan Harris with us this afternoon. He's been sharing with us the pros and cons of a short sale. There's so many individuals that are out there who really don't know, and he's clarified so many areas of concern concerning the short sale, and we're asking him to continue the next 4 minutes that we have on the air with us. Go right ahead, Dan.
So I think that in closing, if you're thinking about having a short sale negotiated on your property, one of the things that you definitely want to do is you want to figure out how much your house is actually worth and compare it to what your current mortgage is so that you have an idea of whether or not you're in a situation where they call it being upside down in your house. That's where you owe more money on the property than the property is actually worth. A good way of finding out what's going on in your neighborhood is just to call a local realtor and ask them to come over and talk to you about doing a CMA. A CMA is something that a realtor routinely provides at no charge. The reason for that is they're trying to get you, if you're going to sell your house, to list with them. So you can have a realtor come to your home and give you an evaluation of what your home's value is based on the local market data that you're in, and they'll give you a couple of things in a CMA. They're going to tell you how much homes have sold for recently in your direct market area, that's within a mile of your home, within a 1 mile radius. They're going to tell you what the average days on market, that means how many days a home sits on the market prior to selling in your given area. They're going to tell you how fast you could expect to sell your home at different asking prices. In other words, maybe if you were asking for $300,000, it might take 250 days to sell your house. Whereas if you listed the property for $290,000, you might be able to sell it in 30 to 40 days. So those are the kind of things that a good realtor is going to be able to do that will give you a very good idea of what your property is actually worth in today's market. And education is power, and knowledge is power. So the more knowledge you can put together, the more empowered you'll feel in the situation that you're in. If you're sitting there and you're in a situation where you're in default and you're way behind on your mortgage and you're feeling like the whole world is caving in on you, by being proactive and going out there and getting the information, you'll strengthen yourself and you'll feel better, and you may be able to take some action in a positive direction that'll help you get out of the hole that you're in. Again, if you wanted to contact me, you can reach me through Doc Burton and through the network here, or you can reach me on my website at www.mobilesettlement.com. That's MobileSettlement.com. Thank you.
That's so grateful to have you on the show. But let me just say this in my closing minutes that we have on the air. Even if you're considering, if you are a person that out would like to buy one of these individual homes on a short sale, you can also call me. I can get you down payment assistance. You can get down payment assistance to help you to get this mortgage that's available, that's out there, and we can provide it for you on a quick sale. So just because you may feel that you want to get this house, you don't have the down payment, I can definitely help you to get that. You can also give us a call this afternoon. Again, that number, we thank so much Dan Harris for coming and sharing with us this hour with us, and we're grateful to having you be aboard with us this morning. Again, you can reach us at area code 919-758-8800. Again, that number is 919-758-8800. We're grateful to all the different guests we see that have came on to share with us this morning, and we're grateful for all the listeners that faithfully tune in each and every week and each and every day in this broadcast of diversification, of helping us become better stewards over all of our finances in every areas of our life. We ask you that you would continue to support us. We love to get emails and talk to us. Again, that number that you can reach us is 919 58
8800. Again, the number is 919-758-8800. Give us a call. We'd love to talk to you and share with us all the things that are happening in for our life. Give us a call. Again, the number is 919-758-8800. Dan, we thank you so much for being with us and look forward to sharing and having you come on again to be with our broadcast here at the Stuart Guide.
Thanks for the opportunity, Doc and Carol. Have a great day.
Thank you again, Dan. For those of you who are interested in hearing or getting in contact with Dan Harris from the mobile settlement, just give us a call at the Stuart's Guide at 919-758-8800. Again, that number is 919-758-8800.
Dan, we're still there. Dan?
Yes, I'm here.
You can all you can look at it, you can download it and whatever you want. That show is right there in the iPod.
Right, it's on at the Stewards Guide, right? The Blog Talk Radio?
Absolutely.
Maybe you want to give people that website?
Yes, sure. They can rate it and everything. We encourage them to do that.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, then.
Bye-bye.